And you are studying the book of John. It's a rather lengthy section. It's about 20 verses, but it's all one conversation, and there's no real way to abbreviate it. So I will read John chapter 8, verse 31 through 59. Let's hear the inspired word of the living God. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not from my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus himself went out of the temple. May God add his blessing to the hearing of this portion of his word. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take these words and burn them deeply into our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. This sounds like a conversation where it's almost a lot of name calling. Jesus is telling them they are of their father, the devil, and they are calling into question Jesus' birth. And it just goes back and forth, and it's tough to decipher. What you need to understand is everything Jesus says here is absolutely true. In order to figure it out, we have to go back to the very beginning. God created man in his own image in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. And he put him in the garden, and he gave him a helpmeet, and he fellowshipped, he walked among the garden with Adam. And then there was another one that God created, Satan, that came and tempted Adam. You've heard the expression often, we are all brothers. All men are brothers. The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Well, that's not true. There are two families. We are all we are created in God's image, but when man Adam was placed in the garden, the serpent offered up and called God's truthfulness into question. The serpent was more crafty, and he came to Eve and he said, did God actually say you shall not eat anything in any tree in the garden? And Eve kind of mistakenly quoted what God had said, and there was an intro. But the serpent said to woman, you will not die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open. So now man has a choice. Do you believe God or do you believe the serpent? We still have that same choice today. When we come up to ethical dilemmas, we see what is going on. We have God's clear word and God's clear instruction to us. Do we believe it or do we believe the different voices in the world? Do we believe the newspaper? Do we believe our friends? Do we believe when what they say is conflicting with what God says? Well, Adam made the wrong choice. And you only have to make one wrong choice because then he was trapped. God, the good news is that God did say, the day in which you eat of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And most of us think that is a horrible thing, but that is God's gracious escape hatch. Because if we didn't immediately die, we would not be able to be redeemed. Satan, the tempter, was created eternally, and he wandered away from God. He fell, and there is no redemption for him. It is not possible to redeem him. But the fact that God put that escape door into what he said made it possible to redeem us. It gave us a window where God was able to redeem us. We often think death is a bad thing, but it's part of God's grace to us. And God has been gracious all the way through the process. You see that right after the fall, God looks at the serpent and he said, because you have done this, cursed of you above all livestock. But in Genesis 3:15, he says, I put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring or seed, and that word is singular, the seed of the woman. Every place else it talks about the seed of the man, but the seed of the woman comes right after the fall. there is only one seed of the woman, and that is Jesus. So right in the very chapter where man falls, we have the promise of a redeemer, someone who will crush Satan's head right there. And then he goes on he has been gracious all the way through. Every one of us from that time on, receive the nature of Adam. So when Jesus looked at the people and said, "You are of your father, the devil," that includes us. We all have that nature. If we just go by the DNA, we get it from our parents, and they got it from their parents. And it goes all the way back to the first parent, back to Adam. That is what we get for our inheritance. We get a fallen nature that is bent on doing evil and not good. But God was gracious. God came through to the time of Abraham. And another promise of a seed. God came and told Sarah that she would bear a child, and Abraham was waiting and grew impatient any day now, and she grew past the childbearing years. And so he said, "Well, I'll just help God out a little bit. I'll just take my slave woman and we'll produce a child." But that wasn't the one God intended. God did something miraculous, produced the child of the promise, and here is what he said to Abraham. Now the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring. He says, "I will surely bless you, and I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of the enemies, and in your seed or offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The seed is singular. The seed of Abraham is the same seed that is the seed of the woman. It is one person. It is Jesus. So he made a promise to Abraham that there would be one of his offspring, that all the families of the world would be blessed. Now, unless you think that's my interpretation of it, the Apostle Paul, that speaks way better Hebrew than I did, commented on this exact verse in Galatians. He said, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterwards, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise." So this is the beginning of the new family. We have two families in the world, not one. We are born into the slave family. Satan is our father. That's where how we come into this world. But God has a promise of a spiritual family, a family of Abraham that is given by faith in the seed that God was going to bring through Abraham's ancestors. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, know that it is to those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify even us Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So a spiritual family God instituted We had a spiritual family in Adam till he blew it. But we now have, God has the mechanism for restoring us to a new family, not the family of death, not the slave family, but the new family in with the faith of Abraham. So the conversation that goes back and forth between Jesus and the Jews, they're pointing to their ethnicity. They're pointing to their DNA. We only get one thing from our DNA, and that is the propensity to sin. In order to be grafted into the new family, we have to have the faith of Abraham in the seed that was the promise of Abraham, which is the seed. Parents, do you remember sitting your children down and telling them, okay, today I'm going to teach you how to lie? Anybody ever had that class? No. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, because you don't need that class. It comes naturally. It's built in. It's part of the sin nature we have. We don't have to learn how to lie. We don't have to learn how to be dishonest. We don't have to learn how to sin. It's built in. That is the old nature, and the only way of overcoming that is by trusting in the seed, the offspring of Abraham, which is Christ. He is able to deliver us. In Abraham's family, that he even gives a picture, Hagar was the slave woman. All of her kids had Abraham's DNA, but they were taken away, and it was Sarah, the free woman, that the seed of Abraham comes through. And God gives that promise of the singular seed, which is Jesus, that if we trust in him, we have freedom. We are set free. Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The only way to be set free is in Christ. He is the only one who has the power to deliver us. He is the one that can give us freedom, and there is no hook. There is no gotcha. There is no read the fine print. He is the one that can deliver us free from sin with nothing that we have to worry about. Abraham believed God, and Jesus said, they answered, "Abraham is our father." Abraham was their father according to the flesh. But we can have Abraham as our father according to the Spirit. If we have the same faith as Abraham, the promises to us, we are able to be grafted into that family as at the same level as Abraham. He is our brother. He is our, and God the Heavenly Father is our father when we come that way. They were still arguing with him. They said, "We are not born of sexual immorality." The people who should have been looking to Christ were calling out his birth now. The virgin birth, they said, "We know who our father is." And that was a very overt insult to Christ. They were calling out his parentage. But Jesus said, if Abraham really was your father, you would do the things that Abraham did. You would exhibit the faith of Abraham. When we come to Christ, we are a part of a new family. The family relationships that we have, We just sang about the communion of the saints. The communion of the saints is that bond that believers have with one another that is deeper than any human relationship. It is the relationship we have with one another. And then we get down to the big reveal in the last section. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying you are a Samaritan and having a demon?" They are still arguing with him, which means they are not trusting in him. They are arguing with what he is saying. And he says, "Truly I say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The old family, the family of sin, the family of Adam, dies. It was spiritual death because Adam did not cease to exist once he committed the sin. But it is eternal death. And we are only delivered from that in Christ, who gives us the offer of eternal life. Jesus answered and he says, "I glorify myself. My glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me. Your Father rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." They said, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And what he is saying there is he is God. He is the I am. He is the one who walked in the garden with Adam and had fellowship. He is the one who stood before Moses and told him, "Tell them that I am has sent you." He's the one who spoke to the serpent and said, "The seed of the woman shall crush your head." And he is the one standing there who is the seed of the woman. He's the one who walked into camp and told Sarah she was going to have a child. He is the one who spoke to Abraham and told him to take his son to Mount Moriah and offer him on the mountain. And he is the one who will soon go to that very same mountain and offer himself. He is the one who promised Abraham that in his seed all the families of the world would be blessed, and he is that seed. He is the one who offers freedom and everlasting life. He's the very same promise made to Abraham he makes to us. We can have freedom. We can have deliverance. We can have everlasting life. He's the one who walked in the garden with Adam, now walks in us in Christ. He is that one. So the question is, who do you believe? Do you believe him, or do you believe the other voices? If you believe him, if you trust in him, his promise is true. You have everlasting life. If you are trapped, if you look back, if you look in your life and say, "Boy, I wish I had that one back. I wish I had that one over again." You know what would happen? You do the very same thing. The only one that can deliver us from sin is Christ. He is the only one that can set us free. If we're trapped in something that we've done of our own making, don't keep trying fixing it. There's an expression, when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. We need to turn it over to Christ. He is the only one that can give deliverance. And he is the one that is able to give us life in the Son. If we are, everyone in this room has one of two parents. We are either still walking in the slave family, and Satan is our father, or we have been adopted into the free family, and God, our Heavenly Father, is our father, because we have trusted in the seed of Abraham, which is Christ. He is our only hope. He is our only deliverer. He is the only provision God has made. for our sin, but it works. May we pray. Father, Lord, when we look, it sounds cruel for Jesus to look at people and say that the devil is their father, but it is the absolute truth. We thank you that we can be delivered from him. We can be set free from his wiles, from his traps. We thank you that in Christ we have life that goes on forever, that we will never die, that we will live on, that when we've been there 10,000 years, we have no less years to sing your grace. We thank you that your family is a forever family. In Jesus' name, amen.